Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
This is a special edition of Your Money Briefing for Wednesday, November 22nd. I'm Ariana Aspuru for The Wall Street Journal. This is the second installment of our series, The New Money Rules for Kids. Last week, we discussed how young kids are learning about money through video games and social media, and what that means for their financial decision-making in the future. Today, we're going straight to the source. We're talking to a few kids who are making their own money. We'll get into how they do it and some of the newer tools they're using to take their business to the next level. You've probably heard about some of these all-star kids with huge, successful businesses. One of the biggest, Ryan Kaji.
Hi guys, today we're playing Don't Open the Wrong Door Challenge!
The now 12-year-old boy became one of the highest paid YouTubers, all from videos he started making as a kid playing with toys. Ryan's most popular video has over 2 billion views. With over 35 million subscribers, he's made a business from playing with other companies' toys to actually selling his own toys into a multi-million dollar brand. And sure, there are other examples of kids like him. Kids who hustle nonstop and, with the help of grown-ups, basically run kid business empires. But everyday kids are finding ways to make a bit of money without the benefit of billions of views. So what can we learn from how most kids are conducting business now? And what money lessons are they learning from it? We talked to three young business owners about the tools they're using to make money. That's after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Kids are still doing a lot of the same side gigs that they did before social media and YouTube. Lots of them are still getting allowances, but others are running their own businesses by making things and selling them or providing a service. What's new are the tools kids are using and how some of them are getting paid. Our family and technology reporter Julie Jargon sees this in her reporting.
Yeah, kids are still babysitting and mowing lawns and even having lemonade stands. But I have talked to a lot of parents and kids who, when they do babysit, they just ask the parents that they're babysitting for to Venmo them.
Depending on what services kids are looking to provide or things that they're looking to sell, it's never been easier to access some powerful digital tools to make things. And that's what our first kid entrepreneur decided to do.
I'm Gemma Glancy. I just turned 10 years old, and I live in California.
Gemma has two businesses that take up her time. Her first is a local newspaper that she prints at home every week and hands out to subscribers in her neighborhood.
I read a book, and it inspired me to make a newspaper because the two girls in the book made a newspaper, and I was like, I should do that. So I did.
She usually writes around 4 pages with things like business shout-outs, travel tips, and events happening in her area, like some local annual flowers that sprouted. Her favorite feature is the joke page. Here's a classic one.
Why did the old man fall into the well? Because he didn't see that well.
As for the business itself, Gemma sells subscriptions to homes in her neighborhood for $2 a month. She's got 11 subscribers, and she usually gets paid in cash. And this 10-year-old is pretty old school. She stores her cash in a safe, which she's used to pay for the adoption fee for her dog and to splurge on a purse from guests.
It's a pretty cool safe. Yeah, it looks like a book.
But she uses a few newer tools to help her make a product. Rather than handwriting her newspaper for each subscriber, she uses the Notes app to write down everything, and then her dad helps put it together in Photoshop.
It's my handwriting, but it's printed because I write it on my iPad, and then my dad prints it out, and then, well, we deliver the newspaper.
For Gemma's second business, she sells her handmade scrunchies, clothes, and purses at local events. But she's looking to take her sales online.
Well, one of my goals is to finish the website that I'm working on for my business right now. So far, I've got an about page, a contact me page, and a logo.
She's been taking a website making class at her homeschool enrichment center, and she's building a website using WordPress to sell her work, Gem Creations.
I'm going to sell my stuff on there, and I'm probably going to sell on Etsy too.
Speaking of selling, once you've got your product, it could be time to level up your tools, which is what I learned from our next entrepreneur.
It's DJ Babyface, officially in the house.
Mason Byers is an 11-year-old DJ from Birmingham, Alabama. But his fans know him by another name.
My family used to always call me like Babyface when I was younger. And so DJ Babyface, so that's how that came along.
He says he started DJing because of his love for music and some inspiration from his cousin.
My DJ style would be swag. Swag, hype man, and trustworthy. That's a good one.
Why trustworthy?
I say trustworthy because, like, I'm trustworthy to all my people. Like, when I introduce myself, I say, hey, look, we're going to have a good time tonight.
And that trustworthiness is what Mason says brings in his clients. But while he says he's not in it for the money,
I do it for, like, the happiness. I think money is just, like, the extra part of the end.
He does make a good amount from his DJ gigs at kids' parties. He said he charges about $75 per hour and normally gets paid through Cash App or Zelle. But he accepts checks and cash, no problem. One non-negotiable thing that he says has changed his DJ game, YouTube.
YouTube is a big part of DJing.
He uses it to learn more about what he needs for his ideal setup and what equipment he might want to invest in. He says that modern DJing is more complicated than it used to be, with more faders and Bluetooth and speakers. He chatted with me from his house and pointed out some of the equipment behind him on the video call.
That mixer is different settings to go with different speakers, different control boards. So therefore, you go on YouTube, you look to see if you like the sound. You like it, you go with it, you start changing it up.
He also uses some online resources, like the graphic design program Canva, which he's used to help him improve his posts. Social media is a big part of business for a lot of these young entrepreneurs.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything you can think of, MySpace, all of it.
Are you a MySpace page?
No, I was just joking.
Our next entrepreneur, in fact, used social media to help grow her business into a big brand.
My name is Zoe Oley. I am 11 years old, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Zoe's brand is called Beautiful Curly Me. The company sells dolls, but the original idea came from when Zoe was 7 and her mom had trouble finding a doll with curly hair.
I decided, you know what, I want to make my own.
Zoe and her mom worked with a handful of designers and manufacturers to create the dolls. And now they have a team of people in charge of things like finances and product development. The dolls have become a big part of Zoe's life. They retail starting at $65, sometimes with a discount, and can be found online, like on Amazon or their website. They've also hit some in-person stores, like Macy's. For every doll purchased, the company gives one to a child in need. And just last year, Zoe did a TED Talk.
With every doll I create or book I write, I am able to show another little girl that it's possible to do anything she sets out to do.
Zoe is still in school, of course, but she juggles her time between classes, which she says comes first, plus tennis and theater, along with events for her business.
Sometimes things pop up. Sometimes I have to miss a sleepover with my friends, but I'm still learning, so I think just going with the flow for me and then prioritizing things. So, okay, which one of these is more important to me.
Safe to say, Zoe's not your average 11-year-old. But how did the brand she and her mom are behind get to this level? After the pandemic hit, she started boosting the business's online presence.
We worked and we still work heavily with social media, so I did different lives and ads, just really getting the word out online during COVID, and something we still do to this day.
Now she's got over 16,000 followers on Instagram and a few thousand more on Facebook. So with the help of her mom, doing live streams on her accounts are a way to talk to her audience.
I read my book, talk to different people there, answer questions our customers have.
On top of that, the company now has someone working on their social media presence. It also sends out emails and texts and sets up speaking appearances for Zoe. And it's worked. Beautiful Curly Me is planning new dolls for the holiday season, and Zoe has goals of reaching even more people globally.
Being able to give dolls to lots more girls, I want to write more books. I'm doing a lot of speaking right now, so continuing my speaking.
Zoe, of course, has a lot of adults handling different parts of the business. But even for the smallest of small businesses, kids need adults' help with certain tasks. One thing, setting up financial accounts. Here's our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon, again.
It's another decision to have to make when kids start asking for money. And of course, there's all the decision-making that parents have to make around when to give their kids devices, whether it's tablets or phones, and then how to pay them. So it's a lot of new sort of decisions on parents that parents didn't used to have.
From piggy banks to checking accounts, there are lots of places that kids can choose to store their money. When the series continues next Wednesday, we'll discuss the ins and outs of some of the newer options. And that's it for Your Money Briefing. This episode was hosted and produced by me, Ariana Aspuru. It was mixed and scored by Jessica Fenton. Jonathan Sanders is our booking producer. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio.
We'll be off tomorrow for Thanksgiving, but we'll be back on Friday with a new show. Thanks for listening.